Bible reading today is from Acts 16, verses 11 through 15, as the Women of Faith sermon series continues with Lydia. We, Paul and Timothy, set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira, and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, sir. Now may the words of our mouths, meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. Yes, indeed, our Women of Faith sermon series continues with Lydia. And so just a word about Lydia. Goodness gracious, she's only mentioned two times. Her name appears two times in the book of Acts chapter 16. And yet, though just minimal as far as exposure in the Bible, she provides a very unique angle on what it means for us as Christians to continue to grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. Let's set the historical context. What we have here is the story of Paul, who is the great, great evangelist. He's on a mission, and he has with him a young understudy by the name of Timothy. They're traveling the known world. This is Paul's second mission trip. The date is about 50 AD, and do the math on this. This is only, 17 years after Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension back into heaven. And so it's still, quote-unquote, a fairly new news, right? But Paul is wanting to get that good news out to the known world. And this is the first time that it's God's word is going to land on the European continent. And so again, Paul is determined. He's bound to get that word of the Savior to the far reaches of the planet. He's taken Jesus' words very seriously, quite seriously. Right before he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, he said, now go and take my word. Start in Jerusalem, then go to Judea, then go to Samaria, and then go to the ends of the world. And so for Paul, this was the end of the world. He's taking it to that next level. This morning, we're going to look at three faith points that illustrate how he and Paul met and the result of that and how that relates to our own faith lives. So first of all, the story says this in verse 13. It says, on the Sabbath day, we, that's talking about Paul and Timothy, went outside the gate by the river where we, Paul and Timothy, supposed there was a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. And we know that Lydia was one of those women. You see, Paul and Timothy had reached the city of Philippi. And we do have a book in the Bible called Philippians. Paul later establishes a church here in Philippi. And it's a wonderful church. He loves that church. Pick up that book, four short chapters, which talks about joy. But as they enter Philippi, it's the Sabbath day. And that would be a Saturday. And the Jews worshipped on Saturday. That was the day of rest when God created the entire universe. He rested on that day. And that was a day of rest for God followers. It was also a day of worship. That's for the Old Testament people. You see, the city of Philippi had not been introduced to Christianity yet. They did not even have, get this, a Jewish synagogue. They didn't have a church where the Jews met there. And so it was very customary for people who were of the faith, people who were believers, when they didn't have a church building to go to, they would gather somewhere close to a body of water. And we know water, right? We've got rain from the sky again, right? We've got water. Water means life. And so they would gather somewhere, particularly by a running water, not stagnant water, but running water, a gift of life. And get this, it was also very convenient back then, for if someone was moved by the Holy Spirit to want to be baptized, guess what we have right here in front of us? They could take the faith plunge right then and there. I got a feeling a verse like this is probably also inspiration for that age-old spiritual hymn, Shall We Gather at the River? Joyce, I'll leave the singing up to you, all right? The story says this. Paul and Timothy went to the river outside of Philippi, and they just supposed that there was going to be a place of prayer there. And sure enough, what did they find? They found this group of women, Lydia among them, gathered for prayer. That gets us to our first faith point. And our first faith point is simply that Lydia opened up herself. She opened up her schedule. I think this relates to us in a powerful way. Let's look at Lydia, then let's look at ourselves. This tells us something about Lydia's faith life. It reveals that she was a religious person. She was gathered there for prayer. She wasn't some atheist or agnostic. She wasn't some heathen or gal from the red light district. But Lydia was a strong, practicing Jew. She was a believer in the God of the Old Testament. You see, she was already familiar with Old Testament Bible stories, like the creation of heaven and earth, the great flood, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Exodus from Egypt, the Ten Commandments, the Promised Land, King David, all the prophets. She was gathered in this very special outdoor space by the river. She was praying with other people of faith to God Almighty, the God of the Old Testament. You see, she was a good Jew, and she would have then also known, being a good Jew, that the Old Testament pointed to a Savior who was to come. Get this, she had just not yet met him. She had not met him, but she needed to meet him. And this is the point. This is the point of our first faith point, that Lydia positioned herself. She set her schedule in a way that she could have good things happen. She set her schedule in a way that she could encounter Paul and Timothy. She didn't know she was going to encounter Paul and Timothy. She had cleared her calendar. She had been present at that prayer meeting. She scheduled her time. She was committed to being there. And get this, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's when we position ourselves, our calendars, our schedules for something where God might be able to breathe into that, well, good things. Good things beyond our imagination can happen. Let me tell you a story about that. When our kids were young, they were in elementary school. We took them to their first Texas A&M football game. Yeah, go ahead. We won big yesterday, but we played a high school, I think. It was 1995. It was the old Kyle Field Stadium there. We had end zone seats, which, if you attend any Aggie game, it doesn't matter where you sit. It's all about the atmosphere, the electricity that goes on in the house. And nothing to be taken away from Texas fans or Baylor or Tech. I got to tell you, there is absolutely nothing like the 12th man. There's nothing like that Aggie spirit. I can hear another hoop right now. Yep. Thank you. I got to tell you, in this story, the maroon and white had just scored a touchdown, and they were lining up to kick the extra point. And so it was back in the day before they put the net up, okay? And so we were in the end zone, and we were there with a couple of, 50,000 people. Oh, it wasn't that many. 5,000 people back there. And so I positioned myself. And they lined up. They hiked the ball. They kicked it. It went up through the uprights. And here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. All I had to do was reposition myself, clear the place right here. And so I blocked out this little 12-year-old girl behind me. There was a lady in a wheelchair over here to my right and a little 10-year-old Boy Scout over here to my left. And here came the ball. Here came the ball. And yes, I did. I caught it. I caught the football like a pro, I got to tell you. You see, I'd set myself up. I'd set myself up for something good to happen, something I didn't even imagine could happen. And I even got to see myself on instant replay on the Jumbotron. I venture to say that most all of us are, gathered here today as believers or people who are on their way to trusting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we all like Lydia, we need regular appointments. We need regular schedules. We need places where we clear our calendar of everything else so that we might position ourselves for faith growth, for things to be poured into us of the godly spirit. For there is absolutely something that we can all learn at any given time about how God wants to breathe into our situation, good, bad, or ugly, and then apply that in a faith way to our lives. But you see, the key is clearing our schedules, creating space for us to continue to hear and to learn and to grow in the places where we need to continue to mature. None of us are done. But in order to invest in that way, it takes time. It takes commitment. It takes intentionality. You see, Lydia catapulted from being an Old Testament Jew following the God of the Old Testament to becoming a fully committed Christian, all because she planted herself in the right place at the right time to hear how the Jesus, the Savior of the world that she was knowing and anticipating coming, she just hadn't met him yet. Brothers and sisters in Christ, where might you seat yourself to receive that deeper drink of direction from God that you may need right now, these days? To hear the idea, to receive a prompting, to catch a vision of sorts from the Holy Spirit, whereby you hear what you spiritually need to hear in order to get to that next place, that next level in your journey of faith. Being here, I want to say it's a good start. Praise be to God that we cleared our schedules by the power of the Holy Spirit to be here this morning. God called us to be here this morning. Maybe something for us to hear, something that we're going through or struggling with. We opened our schedules to be right here for this very hour. But I also have to say there's tremendous additional opportunities for us to grow in our faith and love and obedience to God in other things that we're maybe not aware of or we're not paying attention to and that we're possibly missing out on. Hey, Pastor Steve has a Parables of Jesus class going on right now. Wednesdays at noon. If you can't be here in person, he's doing it also on the internet. You can capture that and even watch it later. He's also going to be starting up a group study. It's called The War Room. They're going to watch the movie The War Room. And there's going to be a meal. This is on Sunday evenings. It starts next Sunday. Tomorrow's the last day to sign up. There's still about a dozen openings yet for that. I think that's going to be a winner chicken dinner. Sign up on the back tables. Pastor David is doing a Wednesday evening Bible study on the non-Pauline epistles. both these pastors are experts in their field and they're great teachers. We also have three adult classes going on Sunday mornings. Got a brand new men's Bible study that just started this last Thursday. 7 a.m. It closes out promptly at 8 a.m. There's a half a dozen or more small groups that anyone can connect to. And all the women's things, all the women's opportunities to be poured into are numerous. They're listed there in your bulletin. Get this, all chances, all opportunities for us to position ourselves to hear what we otherwise may never hear, but we need to hear to get over the hump or out of the dump or beyond the slump. Our first faith point is Lydia opened her schedule and discovered much more than she ever thought possible. Our second faith point, this Bible story says, it was the Lord who opened her heart, Lydia's heart, to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. Doesn't say God opened her mind. Doesn't say opened her brains or eyes or ears or mouth, but God opened Lydia's heart. And the heart in the Bible is the most mentioned human body part in the entire book. Why? It's because the Eastern world perspective was that the heart was grand central station. Out of the heart comes everything. Everything that we do, thought, word, and deed. You know, we're Westerners, right? We Americans are Westerners. And so we tend to be more brain-oriented. Everything comes from our brain, right? But for the Eastern people, it's right here, out of the heart. El corazón, if you will. That's why so many Bible passages have that word in it. Fill in the blank for me. For where your treasure is, there also is your
heart.
Trust in the Lord with all your
heart.
Above all else, guard your
heart.
May God give you the desires of your
heart.
Blessed are the pure in
heart.
Hey, well done. Well done. 762 Bible verses that reference the human heart. For it's the heart that needs to be changed, the heart that needs to be converted, the heart that needs to be cleansed and corrected so that faith seeds might be sown and grow. I think it's why Jesus tells that Bible story, the story of the farmer who goes out to plant the seed. And we have to understand that the seed is God's word. And the soil that he's going to plant that seed in is the heart of a believer. And so Jesus describes four types of soil where the seed might fall. You know, there's the good soil, right? The good soil. That's where we hear God's word and we obey God's word, whatever it may be. And that kind of soil that produces good fruit, massive, abundant crops, that's the good stuff, right? There's also then the rocky, shallow soil, we might say. That's where we might get involved in something. Maybe it's like delivering meals on Sundays to some of the lonely elderly in our church as well as in our community. And so we're excited about it. We're all in with it. But all of a sudden we figure out that the Cowboys kick off at noon. And so we may drift away from our involvement and our commitment and our excitement. Rocky, shallow soil. There's also the weedy patches. Those weedy patches of the heart is when I think there's something good that God would want me to do, say like tithing. Oh my goodness, it's in the Bible so many times, biblical tithing with my offerings. But due then to competing worldly forces, maybe options that we have, such as buying our 25th gun or possibly our 45th pair of shoes, that we choose to do the worldly and invest our funds in that as opposed to the godly tithing. And then there, of course, is the hard soil in me. And that hard soil is where I really kind of agree with God's word and God's will. Like, for example, forgiveness, forgiving others. But because it's someone who really hurt me bad, I refuse. I won't forgive. Compacted hard soil. And you see, brothers and sisters in Christ, none of us, our hearts are never one of any of these types of soil. We have all these types in us. We have the good. We have the weedy. We have the rocky, and we even possibly have the hard. But the question is are we hearing God's word when he says, love the Lord your God with all your
heart?
You know, it doesn't say love me 50%. Doesn't say love me with 90 or even 99%, but it says love me with all 100%. You see, the Lord opened Lydia's heart. The heart was opened by the Lord. And what part of our life, what part of our heart, past, present, are we possibly not allowing God to open? Last week, Tammy and I saw some family members who we hadn't seen in quite a while. And it was Tammy's brother, Matt, and it was a really good visit. Matt and I stepped aside, visited a little bit. The subject of health came up, and he shared with me that he was having some low blood pressure issues, some blackout spells. That's not good. He drives a truck. And so he discovered as he went to his primary doctor that he was probably going to need an electrical cardioversion, a.k.a. Shock his heart back into rhythm. For it to be healthy again. He's planning to do that. There's spiritual issues in our life where we need to have our heart shocked back into rhythm. Maybe given a pacemaker. Maybe having a stent put in or an ablation or possibly even open heart surgery. I so appreciate Psalm 51 that says, create in me a clean and renew a right spirit within me. You see, God is our great physician. He is the one who will grant us newness of heart. And sometimes we need even a complete transplant, which he can do. So what part of your heart, what part of my heart needs to have the weeds pulled, needs to have the rocks removed, it needs to have the hard concrete soil broken up? What part of me and you do we invite God to open us up more to his word and to his will? That's faith point number two. And finally, faith point number three, verse 15 says it this way. When she, Lydia, and her household were baptized, oh, they jumped in that water, didn't they? She urged us by saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home. And she prevailed upon us. See, Lydia was a businesswoman. Daniel talked about this. She was a dealer in purple cloth. And I don't know this. She may have had a clothing line, unlike the places where I not normally shop, like a Walmart or a JCPenney, but probably more like Ralph Lauren or Gucci, possibly Prada. I don't know. But seriously, purple was rare. It was an expensive, extravagant color. And Lydia sold these upper-end products that were made from this dye, this purple dye. And I have to tell you that the dye came from snail shells, came out of the Mediterranean Sea. They were boiled over a long period of time, maybe possibly 5-10 days. And the purpose of that was to extract this deep, rich, purple mucus that came out of the animal shells, these little tiny snail shells, out of their glands. And get this part. It takes 42,000 snails to make 1 ounce of purple dye. And so it's slow. It's tedious. It's laborious. No wonder the color purple is a product for the elite and for the wealthy, for kings and for queens. So what does it mean? What does it mean for Lydia to open her home? It means that as a successful, savvy businesswoman, she had resources. Resources to offer the kingdom for purposes, to support the ministry, to share as she had received. How do we say it in the prayer we're going to say here in just a couple of minutes? Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. How do we share from our homes, from our own purple? I know a man who has mentored school kids for about the last 12, 15 years. He wants to make a difference in kids' lives. I know doctors and nurses from our own family of faith here who regularly go on mission trips to Mexico, offering eye exams and health checks. There's women and men here, children even, who give themselves in service. Some of those are to the Grace Center or Food Pantry, Good Samaritan Center or Needs Council, community involvement on some level, even church teams. There's a family in our midst who has an extra home. God's blessed them richly. Maybe it's a hunting cabin. I get confused. I really don't know. But there was another family whose home burned down in our community. And this family who has an extra abode put that on loan to this family who needed it. I know of people who out of their brokenness, out of their purple brokenness, such as a man who is a recovering alcoholic, who now attends AA meetings to be a support sponsor for those who need to continue to get to that place where he, praise be to God, has gotten to in his sobriety. There's people who signed up for Pastor Steve, that opportunity to go on that Eighth Day of Hope organization to respond for crisis cleanups after a hurricane or a tornado. There's others in our midst who have signed up to be visitation ministers taking communion to some of our elderly because Pastor Allen is retiring at the end of the year, and it's hard to find another visitation pastor these days. You name it, fill in the blank, little or large, your home are the resources that come out of you. That's your purple. And it comes from your education. It comes from your experiences, good and bad and ugly. It comes from your interests and your passions, your possessions, and even your finances. And when applied to the lives of others, can create great impact. And of course, we do it to the glory of God. You know, I've pondered this. We don't know exactly what Paul and Timothy said to Lydia that led her to be so generous with her purple. Just like we don't know, we have no clue as to what Jesus said to Zacchaeus. Remember that wee little man who climbed that sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see? And as that Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." Well, we don't know what Jesus said. But whatever he said, it led Zacchaeus to give half of his belongings to the poor and pay back four times as much to anyone he had cheated in terms of his tax collecting. We don't know what was said. But I have to believe that whatever was said to Zacchaeus, whatever was said to Lydia, it had to do something with the costly, extravagant grace that Jesus had given them and also gives us as sinners in his body broken, in his blood shed on that cross, so that we might have forgiveness, so that our lives may be open for forgiveness and eternity with God. Yes, indeed, we, like Lydia, open our homes, we open our resources out of great gratitude for what God has done for us in Jesus, what he's opened up to us in the storehouse of his grace. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may we then continue to grow in faith, love, and obedience to our God as we open up our schedules, open up our hearts, and open up our homes of purple to Jesus. Amen.